Today's Shiur of Mishnah Berurah Yomi is Siman Tov Samach Vav. We're up to Im Harok Umiraglayim V'Doimav Machmitzim. If saliva, urine, and things like that cause the wheat or the grains to become chametz. So we have already learned in Siman Tov Samach Beis that while water causes grains to become chametz, fruit juice, on the other hand, we learn, does not. Assuming that it's pure fruit juice as opposed to fruit juice mixed with water or concentrate. This we saw back in Sif Beis there with the Mishnah Berurah. Now, this siman addresses which liquids are considered like water and which are considered similar to fruit juices, may peros, in that they will not turn the grain into chametz. Now, this sif that we're going to start with, it has to be appreciated was that in the time of the Gemara, there was a practice of placing chewed wheat kernels in the dressing on a wound. When a person had a wound, they would chew wheat kernels, and it would be something that they placed on a wound. So the Mishnah in Pesachim, Daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, states that a person may not do so on Pesach. Why? Because saliva causes the kernels to become chametz. That's what the Mishnah says. That saliva actually will create chametz like water when it comes in contact with the grain. If you chew wheat kernels, that saliva can make the wheat kernels into chametz. So let's see the Shulchan Aruch. Aleph. Lo yilos adam chitin. A person cannot chew wheat kernels. Beyitein al gabei makaso, and place them as a dressing on his wound. Mipnei, what's the reason? Shehem machamitzos, because they become chametz. What's the reason? Sheharok machmitz, because saliva causes chametz like water. Let's look at Sif Katan Aleph. Beyitein al gabei makaso. Rotzalomar, meaning sha'al yidei le'isa bepiv, that through chewing these wheat kernels in his mouth, the wheat kernels mix with the saliva. Al yidei le'isa bepiv misarvim hachitim barok, the wheat kernels mix together with the saliva. The yachmitu kishiyishu al gabe maka b'shir mil, and then they'll become chametz when they remain upon the wound for the amount of time it takes to walk a mil, about 18 minutes. So the idea here is that the saliva makes contact with the liquid, with the wheat kernels. That is the equivalent of water liquid, that is machmitz. Now, as long as he's chewing, that's not an issue. Because as we know, as long as the chametz is being worked, right? Like, for example, when you're working the dough, it doesn't become chametz. It's only after. So if a person wants to chew and swallow wheat kernels, that's okay as long as it doesn't stay in his mouth without chewing. But if he's going to keep chewing and he wants to swallow, there's no problem eating plain wheat kernels again. In general, you might have to, we're pretty machmir, because maybe the wheat kernels came in contact with water and things like that. But in principle, there should be no issue with dry wheat kernels chewing and swallowing. Here, the issue is you're chewing, the saliva makes contact with the wheat kernels, and then it's being used to apply to a wound. And if he leaves it on the wound for a mil, he will be over, the Mishnah Berurah explains, the Yavur Alei and the Bal Yerah Bal Yematzeh. He'll be over Bal Yerah and Bal Yematzeh. Now, it's interesting that the point here is that he's chewing, and that's the concern, meaning it's the saliva with the chewing which causes the kernels to become soaked in the saliva. This is pointed out by the Shaar HaTzion. The Shaar HaTzion points out that if one merely bites into a kernel of wheat, there is no concern of chametz. It's when he's chewing on the chametz. That's the Mishar Tzion, Sifkatam Beis, where he says, Dafka al yidei le'isa she mismale b'ro karbe. We continue on in the Mishnah Berurah. Tafilu la'asan v'hinichan al gabe makasoi koidem Pesach. Now the Mishnah Berurah adds, even if he chewed these wheat kernels and placed them on the makah before Pesach, koidem Pesach, tzarech la'asiran k'shed tagiya sha'ashishis, he has to get rid of it when the sixth hour comes, be'erev Pesach. Ella im kain kvar nisrcha, unless it got to the point where it's been on there so long and it's so gross that it becomes nifsala me'achilas kelev, where it becomes inedible even for a dog, and therefore would not be subject to the chametz iser of bayira and bayimatzei. The motion is bayir v'simen tafim and beis, like we saw in simen tafim and beis. Now, which it's important that, again, he's referencing back there in Tafim and Beis, in Sifkat and Tes and Yud Beis, that this kula only applies if it became unfit for the kelev before there was already a chiyuv to destroy it, meaning either before the sixth hour on Erev Pesach, or even on Pesach, but before it became chametz. Once there was a chiyuv to destroy it, because it was chametz, and it was already past the sixth hour, then the chiyuv to destroy it remains even if it later becomes unfit. The Kasava Poskim, the Kol Zeh Bechitim Shel Yisrael. The Poskim write that all this applies to wheat owned by a Jew. Aval Chitim Shel Goy, Shel Lo Asan HaGoy. However, regarding the case of wheat kernels of a non-Jew, which the non-Jew chewed, V'Hishilam Yisrael, La'nichan Al-Gabi Makasav Pesach, and lent this now to the Jew to place on his wound on Pesach, he says, Hareza Mutter. This would be Mutter. Im Eina Achrayis Shalaritia Al Yisrael. This would be permitted, provided that the Jew has no financial responsibility for the bandage containing the kernels. The Al Ritia Shal Akum Eino Over Bebayira. Because one will not be over the Bayira for the use of this bandage that is owned by a non-Jew. Meaning, you have a non-Jew who has a bandage that he layered the bandage with his own wheat kernels that he chewed and laid it on. So now there is a bandage that has the wheat kernels with the saliva of the non-Jew that the Jew doesn't have any achrayas for that chametz. So that's like being in possession of a non-Jew's chametz without any responsibility to pay for it if anything happens to it. That we say there's no bayira because, as we learned earlier, there is the Xeris HaKosub of Lecha, that Lo Yere Lecha Velo Shel Akum. Now what happens if a goy does not have any wheat? So you can do the following chap. The Jew can go ahead and sell the chitim that are not, as of yet, chametz. He can sell these chitim to the non-Jew or give it to him as a matana. And the goy will then chew it and put it on the bandage. And then the Yisrael will then take back the bandage from the non-Jew, rak b'tayras sheila, as a borrowing of the bandage with this ointment made out of chewed wheat kernels. The afal pi shechametz aser b'hanah, and even though one is not allowed to get hanah out of chametz, the afilu chametz yishalakum, and even the chametz of a non-Jew, in other words, you're not over Bayera and Bayera Matzei with the non-Jews' own chametz. But you're not going to be nene from chametz or eat or even be nene from chametz of a non-Jew. And here he's being nene from the chametz of a non-Jew in that he's using it now to heal his wound. Right? We could lay out the same top Mem Gimel. The shiny hacha, the difference here is, the reason why it's allowed, shu nene me chametz zeh shelo kiderech hanasok. He's being nene from this chametz, not in the normal way in which one gets hanah, from this particular chametz, and therefore ein bo iser rak midivrei sofrim. Therefore, the iser is only midrabbanan. V'makom choli, and in a situation where he's sick, and he has this wound that needs the treatment of the chewed wheat. Afilu ein bo sakana, even if he just a cholash ein bo sakana, lo gazru, there was no gzera. Umikom makom im yuchal lesrape kishirachech retiyazu shalchitin al yedei me peros. He says, if one can go ahead, it's better. If one can go ahead, if he can go ahead and refuah will be the equivalent of refuah, if he would go ahead and mix up the wheat kernels, not with saliva, but rather, I guess, grind them up with meperos, with real meperos, liquid that is not water, but fruit juice, then it would not be appropriate to do it via saliva, because even if it is owned by the non-Jew, he is being nene, and although being nene, lo kiderecha anaso, not in the normal way in which one gets hana, and therefore it's only an issa derabanan, it would still be better to avoid the issa derabanan, even b'makom choli she'ein bo sakana. Now the poskim bring up the following issue. They bring up the issue, let's say you have chametz, regular chametz, but it was chametz she'avar alav pesach, which is aser midrabanan. So would you be able to use that for medicinal needs of a chole she'ein bo sakana? Right? Chole she'ein bo sakana, as you know, is someone who's chole b'chol gufo, not just nam a headache. He's obviously not a chole she'ein bo sakana, which everything is okay. So this is a big, interesting issue in the poskim. Some poskim say that it's okay. In fact, some poskim even allow eating chametz she'avar alav pesach for medicinal purposes. Others just allow it benefit, and this is all discussed in Shaar Tzion as well as the Achronim. Let's move back to the Mishnah Berurah. Sif katan bais mibnei sheheim machmitzos. It's because they are machmitzos. The wheat kernels, when they are chewed with saliva and they remain on the makkah, they will cause chametz. Sif katan beis cholze im makaso ein ba sakani. So this is all applies if the wound is not life threatening. However, aval sheyesh ba sakana. But obviously, if it is a life threatening wound, then mutter af the makom sheyesh lav de bayira. Then it's going to be okay, even if there is a doraisa lo sase of bayira im rak afshar shervu azu toilo vein bekal lasos b'derech heter. And this is true as long as there is a chance that this remedy will be beneficial and is not easily done in a permitted fashion. Afilu achila ushtia gemura shel chametz, which is a iser d'iraisa of chametz, d'iraisa of achila, which is an iser kares, nami mutter l'refua. It's also permitted for refua. So even the lo sase of achila that comes with an iser kares, not just bal yirah, would be permitted. Even though ingesting chametz is very severe kares, there is the general rule that any iser that is not related to idol worship, murder, and forbidden relationships, otherwise known as avodah zarah, shvichas damim, gilui arayos, those are all permitted in order to save a life. However, as implied in the Mishnah Berurah, it must be firmly established that the chametz is an effective remedy for the life-threatening ailment that it is intended to treat. This Shulchan Aruch points out as well in Yeridea, Siman Kuf Nun Hey Sif Yimel, and the Shus Yaakov Paskin, that if one needs to feed chametz to a sick person with a life-threatening ailment, right? Chole sheyesh bo sakana, another person should be present to ensure that he's not mistakenly come to eat the chametz himself. Meaning, the one who's feeding him should have someone else watching him that he doesn't come to eat it. This is similar to the Drabbanan, that you're not allowed to read by the light of a lamp on Shabbos, because you might come to tilt it and increase the flame, unless another person is present to remind him of the Isser. So to hear, there will be no concern of him eating it when he's feeding the sick person if someone else is there watching it. But otherwise, there's a concern, because this is something that a person eats. It's a staple food, chametz, and there would be a concern. Now, what is the story if the illness is not life-threatening? Can he eat less than a wat, less than a kazayis of chametz? So here, Shaar Tzion points out that no, kutzchatzi shir is asur min ha-Torah, and therefore even less than the shir, and he will not get the onesh of kares, still asur, and therefore, it would not be allowed unless to eat it, even if it's less than a shir, unless it's a chole sheyeshbo sakana, we have the heter mishum pikuach nefesh. Continue on in Sif Beis. Sif Beis. Now, before we start, we had just seen that saliva causes grain to become chametz. So, based on that, what about animal feed in which saliva is present? So the chayra, that's going to also, therefore, require it being destroyed. So therefore, he says, "Hanosein saorim lebehemto umatza ba rir." One who provides barley kernels, that was right, animal food for his animal, for his behema, and he finds saliva on them or in them. Sarich, what must he do? Sarich levarim, he must destroy them. He must get rid of the saorim if he sees in the, I guess, pail of barley, saliva. Let's look at the Mishnah Brura. Sif Katan Gimel. Tsarich Levaram. The Rok Machmitz. Since Rok, saliva is Machmitz. Gnom Leel. Balkane Tsarich Levaram. If we have to get rid of these barley. Ba'afshalo Shasa Behema Bachilasa Kashir Mil. And even if the kernels were not with the Behema, the amount of time of a mil, Mikomakom, Kishalo Yavir, still, if he doesn't go ahead and get rid of it, guess what? He's going to come to. Tavoli de Chimutz, it will come to Chimutz, V'yavor al Balyara, and it'll be over Balyara. So if we have a Chiyuv to get rid of it. Sif. We're continuing on in this Sif Beis now with the Ramah. Aval Mistam Ein Lachosh. He says, you do not have to be Chayshesh that there is saliva in the basket of, let's say, barley that the animal is eating from. Hoil Ukvar Bitel. He writes in parentheses, Divrei Atzmo. Says, what's the reason? Stam Ein Lachush. What's the reason? Hoil Ukvar Bitel. What does that mean? He was Mavatelit. As we all know, there is a halacha of being Mavatel Chametz. And since Bitel Midairaisa Sagi, since a person can go ahead and be Mavatel his chametz, and it will get rid of the daoraisa. We paskin that even after bittul, even with bittul, you still need bedika and bior, or you still need to seek out chametz and get rid of it. You can't rely on bittul midrabanan. But midaraisa, the Gemara says, bittul ba'alma sagya. Bittul ba'alma works. And that's why you don't have to be chayshesh for saliva being there, because it's a drabanan anyway. Since he did bittul, look at the Mishnah Berurah of Katan Dalid. Hovil Kvar Bittul, and Kain Yatsa Michshash Teraisa. Therefore, there's no longer Michshash Teraisa. The Af Bevadai Chametz Shuv Eino Chayiv Bibiyuo Rak Derabana. Because even if there is for sure Chametz there, he will not be what? He will not really have to go ahead and get rid of it, except Midrabana Midaraisa. He did bittul. Ulahachi Kolz Man Sheini Yodua Barur Sheyesh Rir. As long as you not know that there is for sure going to be, there is not going to be. You not know for sure that there is saliva mixed into the barley. Lo machzinin, lo machzakinan isura. Do not assume that this iser and the chametz has been generated. However, tamu alav achronim. However, the achronim don't understand what the Ramah here is saying. He says it's divrei atzmo. They don't understand. The Maima Hani Bitel Shal Chamira Be'erev Pesach, the Chametz Shatta Be'Pesach, this Chametz. How is the Bitel going to help? Because if there is saliva in there, it might not become chametz until when? It might not become chametz until Pesach arrives. The kasu da lashon the gumgam. And they write that the lashon of the Rama has to be altered because it is a lashon. The language he uses is far from clear. It is a lashon megumgam. Unclear, the language is unclear. The wording is unclear from the Rama, and they say what his intent must be. And they write, Hakavona, what is the Rama's intent? In bitel behed yakoidim shenasa lebehemto. If, he means to say, if he was mevatel, the animal food, explicitly, behedya, kodem shenasa lebehemto, before he gave it to his animal, by declaring, v'amar, kol hasorim shisharu mi behemti, mevatel anochi, and he says, all the sa'irim, all the barley that is left from my behema, I am being mevatel, then it will work. If he says that will be okay. Now, this is not so simple, because the Magen Avraham argues that even if one made this declaration, a problem remains. The animal will continue eating the barley after it has become chametz, and the Jew is therefore benefiting from chametz, which is usur, regardless of whether it is in the Jew's possession. However, Achronim argue on this concern and maintain that this is permitted since it is not certain that there is saliva in the first place on the leftover grain. Ayin shum b'sharat zion. Now, this Mekel position maintains that the concern for Bal Yira, where one has not nullified the grain, is merely a chumra, for we need not assume that there is saliva on the grain if we don't see it. The chumra does not apply to the isser of getting hana, because even if there is saliva, the animal might not eat the grain after it becomes chametz. And this is in contrast to the lav of Bal Yira, which will occur automatically if there is indeed saliva on the grain. Ayin shum v'chayk yankiv. Continue weiter. The Rama says as follows. Continuing in the Rama. Yesh machmirin levayer kol hanoisar min habehema afal pi she'ein ro'el of rear. However, he says, there are those that are machmir to get rid of anything that's left from the behema, afal pi she'ein ro'el of rear, even if it does not find any saliva on it in the barley. Let's look at Sivkata. Hey, afal pi she'ein ro'el, demistama isbihu rear. Because they assume istama, there must be, the presumption is there must be saliva there. Because of achronim, the kolze bisus. This is, we have by horses and the like. Aval b'shor upara, have it by an ox and a cow. B'vadayesh lahachmir afilu min astam. B'shor, you have to be machmir. The yadua shemotzi in rear b'achilasan. There, everyone knows that there is saliva. G'dalel b'simen shinchav dalet dalet. Nachon lahachmir b'chol behemos. Therefore, it's appropriate all behemos levayer hanosar to get rid of all the extra animal feed before Pesach. Af she'ein roe alav roke, even if it doesn't see saliva on it, Al-Kain told the chatila, she'yitei lebehemto ma'at ma'at, kedei shelo yishtayer klum me'achila. So therefore, a person should be careful before Pesach to give behema a little bit at a time so that none is left over from his achila. So just to review what we've seen in this last sif is that being that there is an issue with the saliva of an animal, so we have to be concerned with the saliva coming in contact with the wheat. So there is the machmir position that maintains no matter what, you have to, this is the yesh machmirin, no matter what, you have to presume that there is saliva there, and therefore will or has become already chametz, and therefore you have to get rid of any leftover animal feed made out of barley, out of any of the five grains, because the presumption is that it's chametz there. However, the Shulchan Aruch and the first opinion of the Rambam before the Yesh Machmirin points out, and they hold differently, hold that only if you find the saliva on it will you have to be machmir. Otherwise, you can be makel. Why? So the Ramah explains, and this is the Ramah, not Kipshuto, but is explained by the Mishnah Brura, that if a person would go ahead and be mevatel explicitly all the barley, he did not have to worry about any saliva that is on it, because it is now only a derabanan combined with the chashash that this is merely a chashash that there is roke there, but not vadai roke, not vadai saliva being there. So therefore, there are those Shulchan Aruch, the first opinion, that are of the Mekilim. They point out, and the Shabura points out as well, that in certain behemoths, it is a given that there will be saliva there, and therefore he says, even like that's like by cows and oxen. So therefore he says the real appropriate thing to do, the chlal, is to get rid of all animal feed made of barley or any type of the five grains before Pesach, even if you did do a bittul.